Like some countries, Australia currently faces our own nuclear waste problems, stemming from our nuclear reactors and rapidly expanding nuclear medicine export business, which produces radioisotopes for medical diagnosis, some treatments, scientific and industrial purposes. To examine these problems, I'm speaking to Margaret Beavis, co-chair of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons Australia and vice president of the Medical Association for the Prevention of War. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you for having me.
What's Australia's current method of storage for nuclear waste from these sources?
I think it's important to say there's been a lot of waste from a number of sources for many years. This waste certainly doesn't all come from medical isotopes. For instance, there's a large amount of waste sitting at Woomera in some leaking drums that came from the Fisherman's Bend scientific experiments. There's also some legacy, small amounts of legacy radium waste from the 1970s that have been sitting, and it's a small volume, sitting in a few hospitals around Australia. There's waste, the majority of the waste that we're concerned about is located at Lucas Heights. Now, the reason we're concerned about this waste is because it's intermediate level waste. With this waste dump, there's sort of two processes that have been running in parallel and be often blended together because it's convenient. There's the low level waste, which is basically close to surface burial of the waste that is loses its radioactivity quite quickly, about 300 years, and this facility looks to all intents and purposes to meet world's best practice. It's not an inappropriate way to use the low-level waste if it needs to be moved at all. The real elephant in the room is the intermediate-level waste, which stays radioactive for about 10,000 years or longer. And the real worry is what's going to happen to that waste, because currently the proposal is well below world's best practice. It's basically quite likely to leave South Australians with a lot of nuclear waste not properly disposed of. It's quite likely to become a stranded asset for future generations of South Australians because the government doesn't have any plan for proper disposal. Your listeners probably aren't aware that the people doing the proper disposal best are the Finns and the Swedes. For instance, Finland's going to spend more than $5 billion building a proper deep disposal site and is in the process of doing so.
In terms of best practice, how's Australia going? And where can it make improvements?
Well, the current process has been very, very much below best practice. The information that's been provided to the communities in South Australia has been misleading on many counts. They often say that this site has to go ahead, otherwise nuclear medicine will no longer be available. That's clearly not true. The most recent Senate inquiry, ANSTO, said yet again that there's capacity for this intermediately highly radioactive waste to stay next to the reactor in Lucas Heights in New South Wales, and that there's decades worth of storage facility there if they apply for the permits. The government has given communities misleading information. It's used a term, broad community support, and then taken votes. It's interesting, there are two sites in South Australia, one at Walla Medina, very near Hawker in the southern Flinders Ranges, and this other site, Kimber. And in Hawker, they used a survey that surveyed everybody within 50 kilometres of the nuclear waste site. It seemed a very fair way to do it, and the community clearly rejected having the facility. In Kimber, the government got a bit cleverer and decided that they would use a town council boundaries. Now, this has the advantage of including businesses that will benefit financially from all the money and the building of the facility, but it excluded farmers that were actually closer to the site than the township. And this also completely excluded the Bangala people, the traditional owners of this land. And when they, because they'd been excluded, they commissioned a reputable firm to survey their members, and they were 100% opposed. And so there's claims from the government that this community broadly supports this facility is wrong, that the community is pretty divided.
So if the government's come up with this proposal and it finally chose one out of two proposed sites, how did this proposal for a separate dump arise?
A proposal for a separate dump? The issue is really that Australia is not, this may not be answering the question, but the issue here is that Australia needs to responsibly dispose of its nuclear waste. And the current proposal is sort of a cheap, quick way of plonking some really highly radioactive materials in a substandard facility in regional South Australia. And it has to travel all the way from Lucas Heights to regional South Australia, which is also with international best practice. They say that you should aim to go straight from the site of generating the waste to the disposal point. Moving it somewhere temporarily is just unnecessary handling and unnecessary risk. So I think the government really needs to rethink its approach to nuclear waste. One of the reasons it's getting into problems here is because it's trying to do something without doing the job properly.
So if the government formulated this plan or got someone to formulate it, how come all these benchmarks in terms of good practice weren't ticked off as being achieved?
I think it's about cost savings. I think it's also they don't want to take responsibility for the nuclear waste they're generating. One of the things that has been done with very low profile by the ANSTO and the reactor is they've decided to set up an export business for nuclear medical isotopes. And instead, in the past, they've provided 1% global supply, which has been enough for Australia. So with 1%, you could look after all the nuclear medicine needs for Australia. They've decided to increase that by 25 to 30 times, and that will generate, in future, that will generate as much, in the next sort of 20 years or so, that will generate as much intermediate-level waste as we already have had for the last number of decades. So they've got an export business that's going to actually leave Australians with a very large amount of intermediate-level waste comparatively to. So it'll double, and that's on their own estimates. So this export business really needs to be looked at because it's been done without much social license, and really, if Australia's not going to take responsibility for its nuclear waste but keeps expanding generation of it, it goes against the first principle of toxic waste is to do what you can to reduce production, and the government's actually currently doing exactly the opposite. It's interesting, if you go back to when John Gorton was Prime Minister, one of the reasons that Australia got a nuclear reactor at all was because John Gorton wanted to say that, you know, we might want to get a nuclear bomb. And it's really sort of beggars belief that all those decades ago, Australia was thinking about getting nuclear weapons. And globally, the nuclear industry, nuclear power generation is getting more and more expensive compared to renewables. And more they're actually saying, well, actually, you need to support our industry because we support nuclear weapons, which is pretty extraordinary given all the years they've said that nuclear weapons have absolutely nothing to do with nuclear power.
In terms of generation of waste and the reactor generation of waste, are there any alternative technologies that would achieve the same result?
The interesting thing is that most medical isotopes are actually produced in cyclotrons, which are about the size of a four-wheel drive car and located in hospital basements and in major hospitals, and they produce very, very little radioactive waste. There are the main isotope that is made at ANSTO is one called molybdenum-99, which becomes technetium-99, which is used for imaging for some heart scans and occasionally bone scans and a few other purposes. That's the isotope that they're exporting. There have been processes in Canada, in America and in England where they're looking very hard at alternatives to non-reactor production because they can see that reactor production is not only very dirty but it's also extremely expensive. So there's certainly a lot of research happening internationally into this. The Canadians had a breakthrough about 4 years ago showing that they could supply one city with one cyclotron. That now seems to be a bit tangled up with regulatory approvals, but there are certainly good research going on to look at non-reactor production of this isotope.
So the government's wanting to go full steam ahead with this. And so what they've done is move towards enabling legislation to stop any judicial review of this process. Is that something that's usual in processes of government?
It's pretty extraordinary. I think it's because they recognise that they've had such a poor quality process, and it's documented. I mean, there's many times when they've said things like, you know, nuclear medicine will not be able to go ahead if this dump doesn't go ahead. And that's so patently false, but also so patently trying to persuade people with inaccurate information. I mean, my background is I'm a GP, and one of the principles of consent is that people have accurate information. And so I think they're concerned that if they don't make it so there's no possibility of challenge, it won't go ahead. So that's why they were keen to push legislation, which they got through on the numbers in the lower house. And in the Senate, there's legislation pending to try and push this through to block all judicial review. And that would be quite shameful, because the fact that they've needed to put that into legislation just shows they recognise themselves that the process has been very dodgy.
So our listeners need to contact their South Australian senators and urge them to vote down the legislation.
Indeed. The South Australian Upper House, to their credit, has recently passed legislation that supported the existing laws in South Australia that prohibit a nuclear waste facility in South Australia. I mean, South Australia's been through the hoops with this. You just think of all the drama of about 3 or 4 years ago when they wanted to have an international waste dump. Certainly, we at the Medical Association Prevention of War, what we are interested in is responsible nuclear waste handling. You know, they need to actually look at what they're doing and deal with it properly. And the current proposal is well below standard.
When the government was unfolding this process, even from day one, did you get any inkling or call for feedback to sort of input into the process? Or if you had heard about that, which groups were being asked to make input?
Certainly MAPW was not asked to input into the process. I think the Australian Conservation Foundation were initially involved in some of the sort of design of the process, but I think as the process unwound, there was less and less consultation with interest groups and more sort of unilateral decision-making and pressing forward with misinformation.